Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome.
Still just the one fog machine, you know. Still just
and we don't give up. That's what I respect about Kinda Funny, is that we just give up.
We will power through whatever this is. We don't care. To Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, aka the future class of gaming, aka the New York Game Awards nominated at Blessing Jr.
Happy April Tuesday.
Happy April Tuesday to
this
you
is
too.
It's the second day of April and it's Tuesday.
Okay.
I was trying to do a thing.
Fool's Day. Tuesday, I got it. Tuesday. It was one of those where I think it was too smart. Where you said it and it was like, I know there's something there, but it doesn't, I don't immediately get
it's
it.
It's one of those ones you have to digest. Like, people are gonna
did you see this on Twitter or is this something you just came up with?
No, it's as you said, April 2nd. I was like, there's something I can do there. And I got real clever. I got my bag. You know, I listen to artists like Nas and Lupe Fiasco who put in a lot of work into their lyricism.
Uh-huh.
And I take a lot of inspiration. So that's what that was.
Gotcha. Well, you can keep working on it.
I appreciate it. I'm trying to get there. I was going to ask, unless you have something really, really important to say.
I mean, I have something important to bring up eventually, but it doesn't need to be right now.
How long do you let a pain last before you do something about it?
Ooh, great question.
Because
what kind of pain are we talking about?
So it's shin pain.
Uh-huh.
I got kicked in the shin. Like, well, what's
it? Soccer.
About, no, not even at soccer. This was at, this is during PAX.
Okay.
This was during like a PAX after party. It's like midnight. We're out at the club. And like, after I have maybe one or two drinks, I get very break dancy.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Like, I'll bust it on the dance floor. Yeah. And so, like, that happens. And then, you know, I get up and, like, you know, there's like a circle formed or whatever. And like, somebody goes in and they start breakdancing. And as they're breakdancing, their leg swings and kicks me square in the shin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm drunk enough to where I no sell it. I'm like, oh, I'm fine, you know. But then, like, as I'm going home that night, I'm like, ooh, man, that hurt. That really hurt. And then the next morning, the next morning, I'm sitting on the plane for 6 hours. I'm like, man, my shin hurts right now. And then, like, you know, days pass and it's like, okay, it's feeling better and better. And then, like, yesterday,
because this PAX was 2 weeks ago.
This would have been this would have been Saturday night. So this would have been.
So you were here all last week and PAX was the week before that.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. So it's been about 10 days.
What are we looking at in bruising?
No bruising.
Okay.
But also, I don't know if that's like the melanin in my skin that I can't tell if there's bruising. I tried shining a light on it. This is like right here area.
Okay. Move it this way. Yeah, I don't see any. Right there. You got that. Is that a bruise? I don't know. Yeah, I've never looked at your shins before.
Yeah, I don't look at my shins often either.
We're in a new phase of our relationship. Let me see the other shin to compare.
I can bust out both shins for you if you want to compare and contrast.
Yeah.
But yeah, like yesterday I was like laying in bed about to sleep and I'm like, yeah, my shin still hurts. So do I let it rock or do I risk the hospital bill? By going there and
Do you have a GP? Do you have a general practitioner? Have you seen general PCP? Doctor since you've been in San Francisco?
Yeah. I mean,
you should be able to message that doctor.
Oh, just hit him up and be like, yo, I got shin pain.
Yeah. Lots of times, I think I would hit up my GP and be like, yo, hey, this is what happened. He would respond within the day and tell me.
Okay.
But if you don't have that, I think you through what you have like Anthem like I do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think there might be like a nurse's line you can hit people up on stuff.
Bless, you're fine. Don't worry about it.
You think so? Actually, you're the good person.
Has the pain gotten any better?
I could have sworn over the week it was getting better, but then the thing is, 2 days ago,
he
I was like
kicked again.
No, well, 2 days ago, I was like, oh, okay, like, the pain is still here.
I appreciate this one from Rayman. Is this what you do in America? Yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah. This
you,
is the American
you, how much can I endure before I'm like, all right, this actually is worth the hospital bill and the.
Yesterday, I forget what happened, but I kicked myself in the shin. Like,
The same shin.
It was the back
crossing
of the
legs or something?
It was something like that where the back of my other foot. It's like one of those things where in any other situation that would happen, I wouldn't feel a thing.
Yeah.
But because I already had the pain there, I kicked it and I reignited the pain again. And I'm like, ah, shit, all right, that kind of hurts. And now it's good again, but now I have soccer tonight. I'm debating. I'm like, should I risk
guard.
It?
Get a shin guard.
I do have shin guards. So I'm like, I don't think it'll be a problem with the shin guards.
Yeah.
But I've also not been on the treadmill. I've not done any intensive like working out.
Yeah, you gotta rehab it. Yeah.
So I'm like, do I risk it? You know, I got a trip to LA. Do I risk breaking my shin? My tibia? Tibia? Fibia? Which one is it?
One of those. I think I would say I'm gonna guess fibia.
No, fibia is higher.
Damn,
right?
Shit, fuck.
Your femoral artery is on by your thighs.
Femoral artery. I'm talking about the bone.
Yeah, I think tibia sounds right.
Tibia, tibula.
There's two there, right?
There's tibia and fibia, I thought, right?
Yeah, I thought tibia and tibula and fibula were the two.
Wait, what did Leanza break? She broke one of these, right? So, I mean, right there, we should know.
Everyone in chat saying tibia.
Tibia and fibula. Oh, I'm like conflating them both. So, yeah, tibia and fibula. I believe tibia is the one that I have hurt okay. right now. But anyway, I'll just ask.
Here's my thing is, I don't think you can do more damage to it, right? It's not a fracture. It'd be intense no. pain.
Yeah, I would feel way more if it was a fracture. Yeah. So I'm like, I don't know what it is.
Deep bruise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to let it ride it. I'm going to ride it out for another week and hopefully not kick myself in the
shin. Just look at your insurance stuff. Do you have an app? Like, I have an app that I can talk. I was where like I would talk to my doctor. Yeah, there's the Anthem app that they call Sydney or something. Uh-huh. And then the group of hospitals I see have their own little thing.
I've been trying to change my PCP for a while. This guy, I don't trust him. I don't trust this guy whatsoever. And like, it's that thing is a combination of laziness plus, like, again, the American healthcare system just makes everything dumb because I have an HMO. And so I need to have my PCP before I can do anything else. Uh-huh. And so I've like, last week, I think I was in the office on the phone trying to get a hold of somebody to get a new PCP. And I'm just on hold for 30 minutes. And I have a meeting with you coming up. And so I'm like, all right, like I got, and then they answer, I'm like, yeah, can I get a new PCP? And they're like, you already have a PCP. And I'm like, I know, I don't like this guy. Uh-huh. And then I was like, okay, well, I've been on the phone. Then they're like, we'll put you on hold again. And I was like, I don't have time for this. I got a meeting and also got to leave because it was like 5 p.m. or something. And so I didn't want to hold you up either.
Have you thought about just icing it? Just putting some ice on it?
That's another good too, yeah.
I thought about that yesterday.
Kev, we have to have some frozen peas or something. Get that and some gaff tape in here. We can strap that to
your
shin. Oh,
that'd be great.
And then you just do a show with the frozen stuff.
He's going to resist.
No, I'd be great. Yeah, I'd be down for that.
You want me to get gaff tape and strap it to
honestly, no. It's not. It doesn't hurt that much anymore.
Well, I mean, put it on the shin. I mean, I'm sorry, over the jeans. It's not like
yeah, gotta be.
But like last night it hurt more than it does now. Right now I'm just worried about soccer.
Because you kicked it yesterday.
Yeah.
So you re-aggravated the injury. I think that makes sense then, why it would still hurt.
Comrade Serpent says, take some ibuprofen. That's honestly your best
also
call.
A good point.
You know,
also a good call.
Two ibuprofen?
I've already taken two drugs this morning.
Okay.
You know?
What's the other ones
like,
you took?
Like Zyrtec, right?
Or... It was Benadryl.
Yeah.
And then it was Propanolol.
I don't know what that is.
It's for heart rate.
Your heart rate up and down?
It's like an anxiety thing.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, it's like,
there's
I
nothing
know.
Funny about anxiety, but it's a heart rate.
It's a heart, it's a heart
like, what
rate.
What the fuck? You don't have one? Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah, it keeps me alive.
Is this Games Daily or?
This is Games Daily, yeah, of course, where we run you through the nerdy video game news.
That's a lot of cough drops on the table. Was that they were?
Dude, I burned through so many yesterday, and then I had the one cough here. I'm like, I'm not fucking around. I just dropped them out there. So I'm ready to go.
You're
I don't
want
to be. No, it's this annoying Ben cough I've had forever. Where Ben had this little, he's had a little cough that he gave to me, I don't know. I'll say a week and a half ago, but it didn't start as the cough. It was just like, I'm stuffy or whatever. But I was never sick.
Yeah.
And now it's the phase of being this annoying
cough. I'm pretty
cough.
Sure I had that exact same thing last week.
Yeah.
Because like on Friday, my throat was tickling me a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe I'm just paranoid or whatever. I went home.
Oh, yeah. The Theraflu.
Yeah. And it lasted like a day and a half, and now I feel back to normal.
Yeah. The thing with the little baby colds he brings home is they just hang out. Like Ben is still coughing from the thing he had forever ago. So then I'm just coughing as well. But like yesterday, I had a meltdown on Games Daily where Kevin, God bless you, Kev, had to run across and get cough drops for me and bring him in the middle of the show. Because I was on Slack being like, can anyone help me? And Nick held back on making fun of me, which was helpful because I would have been pretty pissed probably if he did that.
But barely holding it together on this in this
you know
office.
I mean? It's been a long year. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, today April. We're talking about Dragon's Dogma 2 officially being a hit, some new game trailers, and so much more. Because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and podcast services around the globe. If this show is important to you, if Kind of Funny is important to you, if you enjoy what we do, why not pick up the Kind of Funny membership? It's a brand new month, of course. You get a whole bunch of benefits for the month. Of course, you'd get each and every episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily ad-free. You get all the other shows ad-free. You get the ability to watch the other shows live as we record them like we did with PS I Love You XOXO yesterday where you voted on the greatest PlayStation game of all time. And of course, you get the daily multimedia experience Gregway, which was just a dynamite April Fool's Day joke yesterday that keeps blowing back in my face because so many people keep hitting me up about gaming PCs now.
If you want to be part of the show live as we record it, of course, you'd be using those YouTube super chats to comment on the news and be part of it. Housekeeping for you, as I said, a new PS I Love You XOXO is up, where we decide the best PlayStation game of all time, inarguably. You can get it on your podcast feed under PS I Love You XOXO or over on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. Were you happy with the results?
I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, of course, you know, it's like when the popular kid wins like prom king. It's like, all right, cool. We all knew. We need more spice.
You had your chance. If you would have just helped me with Helldivers, which you wanted to fight against me the entire time.
You could have helped me with Bloodborne, you know?
I did.
The kid that deserves
it. I did help you with Bloodborne.
What happened to Bloodborne? Because I don't want to spoil it.
Go watch it. It's a great bracket episode. We have a great time. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, thank you to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Kieran Hovasapien, and Delaney Twining. Today, we're brought to you by the Kinda Funny membership, but we'll tell you about that again later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! Six items on the Roper Report.
A Baker's Dozen!
You brought this up.
I've talked to a lot of people about it. We've cleaned it multiple times. I told Nick last week we should send it in, swap it for the other one. Just hasn't happened. Sorry, guys.
It's not you, as much as we brought it up on Gamescast. Mm-hmm. It should just stop then. So they're both ready. You know what I mean?
Or like sender it or something. What if you put that smoke machine, just put it like right here between us and I just blow upwards.
Just right out. It'd be funny for the joke, but then we choke and die.
Okay? Yeah.
Number one on the Roper Report, Dragon's Dogma 2 sales hit 2.5 million 11 days after launch. This is Wesley Yinpool at IGN.com. Dragon's Dogma 2 is a big hit for Capcom, selling 2.5 million copies across PC via Steam, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series X and S in just 11 days. The sprawling action role-playing game went on sale on March 22nd. Capcom announced Dragon's Dogma 2 had passed 2.5 million sold on April 2nd. Total Dragon's Dogma franchise sales have now exceeded 10 million units, Capcom added. To put Dragon's Dogma 2 sales into context, it took the first Dragon's Dogma game a month to sell 1.05 million units after it went on sale at the end of May 2012. A tally Capcom declared a success. Quote, Capcom carried out various global-facing promotional activities, Jesus Christ, with the aim of attracting not only longtime fans of the series, but newcomers as well, including the launch of a free application that let users create their players' avatars prior to the game's release, as well as in-game pawns made in collaboration with celebrities in various countries and Japanese national athletes, Capcom said. Blessing,
Greg.
You infamously were like, not that great.
I don't think I said it like that. I think it was more so, after the first 7 hours, I'm not feeling it as much, but I want to give it more of a shot and see how I feel later down the road.
Have you given it more of a shot?
A little bit. It's that Dragon's Dogma 2 is a very fascinating one for me because I've been seeing all the love for it online. Mm-hmm. And it's like one of those few cases for me where I get bewildered. I'm like, really? Like, are we playing the same game? Like, have I been playing Dragon's Dogma 1 this entire time?
You did say that when you were looking at reviews, review of day.
Yeah. And I think it's fascinating to me because I think Dragon's Dogma 2 is another one for Capcom where it's like, man, y'all know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, like, despite everything, you guys know how to make a fucking video game. And like, even a game like Dragon's Dogma 2, which, you know, I look at the Resident Evil games. Resident Evil games are formulaic in a good way, right? Like, they know what that formula is, and they've nailed it, and they know how to make a Resident Evil. And even, like, I was going to say even the bad Resident Evils are good. I don't know if I'd say that, but even, like...
Sorry, Village.
But Village is actually my example of even a Resident Evil that I deem... I like 7 and 2 Remake more than Resident Evil Village. I still think Resident Evil Village is a good game, though. Like, I still really enjoyed Resident Evil Village.
You like the medium more than it, too, right?
But yeah, like, I think even for Capcom, on the lower end, you have good games. I was talking about this with Exoprimal recently, that, like, Exoprimal is probably one of the lowest-regarded Capcom games in the last however many years, 5 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And I still think that's a good game. Like, I've been playing Exoprimal. I'm like, this is a fun ass video game. Is it doing it for everybody? Is it you know, getting everybody on the side, you know, having this worldwide success? No, not really. Like, I've not heard anybody talk about that game for months now. But yeah, like, Capcom has this stuff and they're able to make a game like Dragon's Dogma 2, which I think takes a lot of risks, which I think, you know, does its own thing, plays its own song, right? But people play it and they love it because it is different. It is, committed to its own gameplay loop, and I've played a little bit more of it. I'm not played as much as I wanted to because like PAX and all this shit, right? But I played some last night, both on stream and off stream. And as I was playing it on stream, I was getting back to that place where I was like, yeah, I don't know. Like, this is not hitting for me. Like, I am feeling all these rough edges. I still am not really enjoying the mission structure and all that. While streaming it, I was talking to chat and asking them, like, yo, what is it for y'all for this game that works? And a lot of people were like, yo, don't even worry about the missions. You know, a lot of it is just existing in the world. A lot of it is when you're getting from point A to point B, the things that happen along the way. And so
if you like Dragon's Dogma 2 and you don't understand why Blessing and I are like, hit me up with Super Chats. I want your opinion on it. And also to toss in for conversation while we go, this does harken back to, what, last week, 2 weeks ago? GamesIndustry.biz, Jeffrey Rousseau. Capcom is Metacritic's top game publisher of 2023. Capcom took the number one spot in 2023 Metacritic game publisher rankings. According to the 14th annual report, it received an average Metascore of 84.5. It's the highest rated release its highest rated release was Resident Evil 4 Remake on the PlayStation 5, which scored a 93 from critics, right? Finishing at number one for the first time since the 2019 edition of our annual game publisher rankings, Capcom benefited from massive critical acclaim for its latest Resident Evil Remake. But the publisher also released two other 90-plus games in Street Fighter VI and Ghost Trick Phantom Detective, and many more in the 89 range. The company's lone 2023 disappointment, Exoprimal, a welcome, if ultimately lackluster, attempt to launch a new IP, end quote.
Yeah.
I think this speaks and talks right into what we're talking about with Dragon's Dogma and talking about Capcom, is that Capcom is so great at serving its audience and knowing what its audience for a specific game wants, right? When we talk about Ubisoft, right, and how they kind of got lost in the woods there, it was when they tried to make everything the open world checklist, go get the tower, go get the thing, you know, blah, blah, blah. All these games are Ubisoft games, and that became a negative way to describe them, right? Okay, that's shitty. Whereas when you're looking at Capcom and you're seeing the success for it, they're able to say, well, this is what this version, not even Resident Evil as a whole, this remake version of a Resident Evil should feel like. Here's what the modern Resident Evil should feel like. Here's what people want from Monster Hunter, why they're so stoked for Monster Hunter next year. Here's what Dragon's Dogma is, a franchise, now that it's two, but an original game that had a cult following but wasn't this huge breakout. They were like, okay, go make Dragon's Dogma 2 and make it for a specific audience.
Like, we're gonna make that game again. We're gonna take what worked about Dragon's Dogma 1 and we're gonna double down on it because we see the audience for it, we see the people that like it. And, you know, to finish the point I was making earlier, right, like, I hopped off stream, took a break, came back to it with the thought in mind of, all right, fuck it on the quests. I'm not going to focus on trying to complete my checklist of quests here. I'm not going to play this like a regular RPG or action RPG. I'm just going to just run around the world and like make friends with pawns that I want to make friends with and just try to play an hour of this game. We're in a weird time loop now because we talked about this on Gamescast yesterday that's going to come out tomorrow about like podcast games and how we enjoy games, how we play games, how we manage the games we play. And I was like, okay, Dragon's Dogma 2 seems like the kind of game that I can listen to a podcast to. And so I'm going to put on a podcast. I'm going to play this the way that I would play any game that I love, right? Laid back, chill, fuck it on the quests. I'm just going to go around and fight things. And I started to enjoy it way more that way. And I think in the future, when I pick up Dragon's Dogma 2, I am just going to say, fuck it. I am playing this as if I'm playing a co-op game with friends, where it's not about the mission. It's about the combat and hanging. And like, I think that's the thing that has started to make it click for me, is that I'm getting into random combat encounters and it is this fun fighting shit in that world. Like, I run into like big beasts, right? Like, there's a big minotaur boss creature that you'll find, and you know, he's fucking like charging at you, he's fucking flinging you off and all this shit, right? And it's like, that stuff is fun, and that stuff brings me back to games I like Shadow of Colossus. Weird time loop because we talked a lot about Shadow of Colossus on PS Love You.
Yeah.
Right? But like, I like climbing on shit. I like stabbing shit.
You love climbing shit.
Yeah. Like, dude, climbing shit is my favorite.
I got there. You're off the billboard. You're on the fence.
Yeah. Dude, you rolling to work. Yeah. I'm like halfway up the building. I'm like, what's up, guys? But yeah, like, I really like that type of experience. I think it's really cool. And Dragon's Dogma 2 does that. And it's really fun and it's really dynamic. And I have a pawn that is a sorcerer that, like, you know, my previous sorcerer pawn, he was low level. So all he would do is heal.
Yeah.
Now the new sorcerer I have heals, but then also busts me. So now I'm running around with a fucking purple shield and a purple sword. And I'm starting to like feel that synergy of, oh, okay, there's a party here. okay, we're firing on all cylinders, and now like I'm getting into combat encounters and really enjoying it and really starting to take in more of the systems, and I'm liking it more. I'm still not in love with it,
but are you liking enough to come back, you think, over time?
I think I am, yeah. Shots, yeah, especially right now where there's not a billion games coming out at once.
One, I want to drop in Jason's super chat, get through the other super chats here in a second, but Jason drops in and says, I would say why Dragon's Dogma 2 works for me is because it's like a D&D campaign where anything can happen while exploring. I want to piggyback off that and go back to the time warp because, yeah, yesterday Andy was talking about Dragon's Dogma. He gave his update. He's, you know, a gajillion hours in. He recruited the Kevin pawn. He's got his pawn of the Dune 2 lady, now a sorceress that can float in the air and shoot shit. And Andy was telling stories from the fight last night that reminded me so much of what people were saying about Baldur's Gate and the crazy shit that could happen in Baldur's Gate. And this is the first time where with Baldur's Gate, I hated the combat so much in the actual way the game played. I tried multiple times and couldn't get into it. Hearing Andy talk about it yesterday, seeing what we saw there from footage, reading comments like that really are the ones I'm like, when I'm in the mood, when I'm back home and I'm not going on another trip in another 2 weeks or whatever, and I can sit there and be like, cool, maybe it's May where I have like no travel as of right now booked. I can sit there and actually play this and actually get lost in that world and make a character and make these relationships with the pawns and yada, yada, yada. That's when I think I'll have the most success in getting into it.
Yeah. And also, I think that what you're talking about in terms of Andy's impressions is what is really bringing me back in. Or at least, like, I think it's creating this allure to it where everything that I hear described about Dragon's Dogma 2 from Andy, from online, from people that talk about it and love it, I'm like, this is everything I... You guys are describing this, and it's everything that I want in a game, but I'm not there yet with Dragon's Dogma 2. And again, when I throw out the rules of traditional RPGs that I play of, oh yeah, I'm in it for the quests, I'm in it to like for the progression, I'm in it for this, and I just focus in on, hey, let's just live in the world, let's just level up, let's find new pawns, let's like just get lost in the gameplay a bit more.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get there because it is these little stories that keep happening. You know, last night, this happened on stream, which is hilarious, right? Like I'm hanging out with my three pawns. It is me. It is Oki, my sorcerer, my old sorcerer, because he keeps dying, so I had to replace him. It is my main pawn, Io Edeberry, and it is Kratos, made by Mitchell Saltzman. And we're hanging out in the world, and like I get to a bridge that's like collapsed. I'm looking down under its river, and I'm like, oh, I got to get to the other side. And I see Kratos like jump, and I'm like, oh, he's trying to jump to the other side, and he jumps and he fails. And he falls in the water and he dies. I never see Kratos ever again.
Rest in peace.
He's just fucking done. He gets devoured by the tentacles that come out of the water. He's just fucking done.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was mad, but I was also like, this is hilarious. Like, this is a funny thing that this could just happen. And my other pawns jump and they make the jump. So I'm like, oh, he genuinely could have made that jump. He just slipped and he fell. And that's really fucking funny.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I never saw him again, which is, I like the fact that it came with consequence, right? But like, that's one example. And then later on, I had another example of a story that actually like worked to my benefit. But yeah, like that, like shit just happens, and I like games that allow shit
that
to just
emergent
happen.
Gameplay, right? That's what
yeah.
I was saying.
Yeah, and I think that when we talk about Capcom and why Capcom's been killing it, like Capcom doesn't follow trends really. Like they just do what they do. Like Resident Evil is still unlike many other games, right? Like we see games more influenced by Resident Evil than sure. vice versa. You know, like yeah. from Resident Evil, we get games like Alan Wake, or we get games like Last of Us, or we get whatever, right? Resident Evil, though, the way Capcom has made it, you're right that we have the remake ones and then we have the modern ones. The modern ones are first person survival horror games in ways that like it didn't need to be. They could have just kept making Resident Evil 4 over and over and over again, yeah, but they decided, yeah, yeah. Hey, no, we have this vision for what we want this to be. Dragon's Dogma, again, is one of the very few open world games, if not the only open world game that Capcom makes, but they have their own idea of what they want open world to be. They could have made Assassin's Creed. They could have made any other, like the standard open world game. We saw that with Rise of the Ronin, where they're like, yeah, we're going to make a Team Ninja version of what Assassin's Creed is, but instead, Dragon's Dogma 2 is doubling down on that uniqueness. Hardcore nature and the uniqueness and the emerging gameplay of Dragon's Dogma 1, and it's working for them.
Joey Radstone wrote in and said, I think the Dragon's Dogma 2 mission structure is obtuse and takes about 5 to 10 hours to get into. But once you do the exploration in the world, it feels like playing Breath of the Wild. Scoopy5 wrote in and said, It feels like a game that would hit once you know what to do. But they want you to learn everything on your own, so more subtle hints and or explanations might help keep me engaged. And then CJ Splits On has the final super chat on this, at least for now, and says, put 60 hours into it. Thought it was all right. Very repetitive. Not enough variety. Feels like the open world not being boring, boasting, was a lie.
Hmm.
And then we got one while I was going. Razlo says Dragon's Dogma 2 is a game that has constant surprises, and no two players have the same experience. It can be mean, but that's hilarious to me.
Yeah. And I love that range of experiences that people are having, right? Yeah. Like, I'm at the place with it now where by the time we get to the end of the year, I don't think it's going to be my game of the year, right? Like, I think I've just from playing it so far and where I see this thing going down, I don't think it's going to be up there for me. We'll see if it's in my top 10. We'll see if it's in my top 20, right? I think maybe it'll end up there the more I play. But I like that it is, hey, like, we're doing things in this game that you might hate, but also some other people are going to love. And I think that speaks to that, like, that speaks to vision in a way that are that, like, that is going to resonate more with certain people. It's the way that 100%. Souls games for people like me, Andy, Mike, whoever, really hit. But I talk to you about an Elden Ring, and you don't have that desire for it because it doesn't speak to you, right? It's not doing the things in a game that you look forward to. Oftentimes, when that happens, what that means is somebody else is going to get something like really special for them out of that experience,
which is what it should be, how it should be, right? Yeah. It's back to, you know, the conversation we had on multiple shows throughout this thing of, like, again, it's not a world I want to be in either. I am not the orcs and elves fantasy guy, right? So I look at Dragon's Dogma, even having played it for the 2 hours I did, right? I'm like, okay, like, not where I want to spend my time. Whereas, again, you jump to Helldivers, a game that I'm obsessed with, and you're not, right? Like, that is where I want to put every waking hour and every moment and what I want to do. And I have emergent gameplay there in a different way, right? As the systems and bugs and robots and everything interact, let alone what my teammates are doing and yada, yada, yada. Video games are cool, yo.
They are cool.
I'll be excited to hear your updates. Blessing as you go through Dragon's Dogma 2. And of course, if you want to hear those updates with no ads, ladies and gentlemen, you should get the Kinda Funny membership. Of course, with the Kinda Funny membership, you'd get each and every show ad-free. You'd get the ability to watch us record the other shows in the afternoon, live as we record them. And of course, you would get the daily multimedia experience known as Gregway each and every day for your eyes and ear holes. But guess what? You're not using your Kinda Funny membership benefits right now on Patreon or YouTube. So here's a word from our sponsors. Kinda Funny turns 9 years old today. We could have made it 9 days without your support. That's why 2024 is all about doubling down on our shows and making it simpler than ever for you to get the most out of our content. Our revamped Kinda Funny membership is your one-stop shop for all our amazing content, which now includes on a weekly basis, the Kinda Funny podcast, In Review, the Kinda Funny Gamescast, P.S. I Love You, XOXO, the Kinda Funny Xcast, the brand new series Kinda Funny Game Showdown. Five episodes of Kinda Funny Games Daily, and five exclusive Gregway vlogs.
And 5 days of streaming fun with me and the gang here in our newly revamped streaming space. It's gonna be filled with a ton of laughter and a whole lot of shenanigans. We'll see you there.
That's more than 20 pieces of content a week from an 11-person independent team in San Francisco. That's a lot. And to get the most out of it, all we're asking for is $10. $10 gets you the Kinda Funny membership, and that entitles you to ad-free versions of the shows, the ability to watch the podcast live as we record them, and the exclusive access to my daily show, Gregway. You can get your Kinda Funny membership on patreon.com/kindafunny or youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Yes, we are expanding our Kinda Funny membership offering to YouTube, so people can take full advantage of the platform they prefer. If you want to go above and beyond the Kinda Funny membership to support us, we will still have higher Patreon tiers, albeit with some changed up perks. We just wanted to make the message as clear as possible that the $10 Kinda Funny membership is for the masses to get all the core content people love. Everything above that is very appreciated. The support means the world to us. You all are the best. But the $10 Kinda Funny membership available on both patreon.com/kindafunny and youtube.com/kindafunnygames is where we see the value of what we do. Kinda Funny is a dream come true, and we wouldn't have it without you. We hope if you've ever enjoyed the content, you can support us for at least a month as we prepare for our biggest year ever. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Number two on the Roper Report. Former BioWare/Ubisoft devs are making a new action-adventure game called Eternal Strands. We have the report from Travis Northup at IGN, but we also have the trailer. So let's watch the trailer, react to that, then we can read anything we need to read, okay?
Let's do it.
Let's do it, Kevin. In-engine alpha footage, it says.
Are you guys okay to watch it like this, or do you want me to try to...
We can do it like this.
Yeah,
if you,
yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay.
And everyone's popping off another Strand game. That's right. Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is Yellow Brick Games, which is one of those studios that was formed, like an independent AAA studio that spawned from people leaving. This is the ones we always talk about, right?
Someone's actually making something.
Yeah.
Looks like Immortals.
Oh, yeah, the Ubisoft one.
Yeah, Immortals Phoenix Rising.
I thought you meant like Immortals
of Avia. Yeah. No, sorry, Immortals Phoenix Rising. Yeah. You're an audio listener. Oh, shit. It is Immortals. Kevin, it's Immortals!
I love that I was just talking about climbing on monsters to kill them, and that's exactly what they're doing here. Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, if you're an audio listener, imagine Immortals Phoenix Rising's art style, action, third-person action, I'm guessing RPG.
Yeah, fantasy world.
This looks like a game I'm going to be fucking all about.
Yeah. I will say, I'm liking everything I'm seeing. The art style is the only thing.
Oh, look at him freeze him. The art style isn't working?
For me, I think it looks good. For what they're doing with the art style, I think it looks good. I just don't like this art style usually. Hmm. It reminds me of, what's the other one? There's like
your wish list now, PS5, Xbox Series X and S.
There's a Monster Hunter type game, chat, let me know, that I think has a similar art style to this that's like free to play.
Oh, fuck. It's got a B in it, I think.
I was thinking like a S or a D. Dauntless. Yeah. Yeah, it reminds me of Dauntless a little bit in how it looks.
Sure, the art style, I can see that. I'm going to read about it. Kevin, keep rolling it, though. You're doing great. Developer Yellow Brick Games, a new game development studio founded by AAA industry vets, including longtime creative director of BioWare's Dragon Age series, Mike Laidlaw, has announced Eternal Strands. This third-person action-adventure draws inspiration from the likes of Shadow of the Colossus and Monster Hunter, where you're doing battle with massive creatures hell-bent on destroying you, and combines that with Tears of the Kingdom-like physics-manipulating powers to turn you into the ultimate sorcerer supreme badass. You play as a weaver named Bryn, one of the few remaining magic users left after the use of magic caused a cataclysmic event that destroyed much of her world. Alongside the members of your fellow magic-using weaver band, you'll embark on an adventure that pits you against all manners of monsters, including more than a few massive giant bosses that really seemed interested in stomping you into weaver jerky. The game is slated for 2025.
What is the chat, the battle royale game that came out, I want to say it was 2020, that you're using different elements. It was similar fantasy type setting. Also had like an art style that reminded me of, that Spellbound. Reminds me of this. Spellbound. Yeah.
Good job, it's me, BT.
It gives me Spellbound vibes as well, but for me, this looks a bit more promising. I like everything that I'm seeing. The part where you talked about, where you read like Breath of the Wild, like physics stuff, right?
Yeah.
You see the ice moves that the characters are using, right? That like they use to build a bridge, but then also use to kind of slow the boss down. That's really cool. But then also you see fire abilities, and then also you have like the telepathy type stuff where you're throwing items at the boss, and like I love stuff like that. I think that's really cool. And again, like the idea of being able to climb on a boss, hit it from above, like do all this shit. I think they're doing, I think in terms of gameplay, they're speaking to me. They're saying a lot of the right things. I'm curious to see, like, you know, what does this look like? I guess when we get to next year, right? Because they said it's slated for 2025.
Yeah. I'm very interested in this.
Spellbreak. I'm going to look it up. I think it's Spellbreak. That's a good call.
Spellbreak, not Spellbound. Okay. Yeah, the guys played a lot of that back in the day. I'm interested in that one. I think it's a bad name.
Oh, yeah. Eternal Strain is not a great name.
No, not a good name at all.
Very generic.
Yeah, exactly. But the game looks good.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Let's move on to another trailer. You wanted to read about this? Watch it and read it, right? Or what do you want to do?
We can read the story because this one is a preview from Ryan McCaffrey.
Okay.
And then we can watch it afterwards.
So then we're going to number 3 on the Roper Report that says, this game sounds cool. Jump Ship plays like a mix of Sea of Thieves, Left 4 Dead, and FTL. We go to IGN.com where Ryan McCaffrey writes, once in a while, my job affords me the wonderful opportunity to go into a game demo completely blind and come out completely enlightened. All I knew about Jump Ship before I met with 3 of its 10-person Swedish development team, including Daniel Kaplan, who was employee number 1 at Mojang, and Philip Koulanos, I probably screwed that up, I apologize, a co-founder at Hazelight. was that it is codenamed Hyperspace and that it would be, quote, a four-player co-op adventure where you and three of your friends get to live the ultimate space fantasy, end quote. It started with a tech demo, but everyone loved it, so now it's being made into a full game. I was fortunate enough to play a 30-minute session with Kaplan and Kalanos, another member of the Keepsake Games, and I was blown away. The headline you clicked on to get into this article is not hyperbole. By Keepsake's own definition, and one that I'd co-sign after playing the game for myself, Jump Ship is a clear mix of Sea of Thieves, Left 4 Dead, and FTL, Faster Than Light. The Sea of Thieves piece comes across from the fact that you and your three teammates all work together to fly, upgrade, customize, and maintain a single spaceship. One of you flies it, while the others can wander around inside it, or even on the outside if you pass through an airlock and then use your magnetized boots to stomp around the hull, manning, fixing, or upgrading the ship's cannons. That, in and of itself, is fun. And even if Jump Ship was just Sea of Thieves in space, where you and your crew cooperated in ship-to-ship battles, it'd still probably be pretty cool. But you'll also land your ship, use your jet drive to awesomely fly through the air like Superman away from or towards your ship, go into advanced combats, instanced combat areas, and battle AI enemies. Jump Ship is purely a PvE game, marking one major difference from Sea of Thieves. In encounters, that can get pretty tough, thus necessitating cooperation with your pals. Add in that AI director, to use Valve's term, dynamically populates these encounters, and you can see where the Left 4 Dead ingredient in Jump Ship's recipe comes from. I had a fantastic time blasting bots with the Keepsake developers. Jump Ship is going to take us through crazy space battles, dogfights in the skies of planets, intense on-foot missions on the ground, and more, all while working together with three friends in ways that feel fun and useful without being frustrating. Kaplan and Kulanos told me it's going to ship simultaneously on PC and Xbox whenever it's finally ready, and I can't wait.
That sounds like something.
That's a great preview.
Yeah.
That's a great preview.
Ryan, I was going to say, this sounds like a Greg Miller type game. I don't know if you ever played FTL or if that's your shit, but I know for
FTL, like, I tinkered with for Game of the Year and stuff back in the day. It was too simmy in a way that I didn't want to mess with or whatever, but love Sea of Thieves. Mm-hmm. I love PvE, right? And while I'm not the biggest space fan, there's definitely those exceptions, right? Where I did love No Man's Sky. I did love Starfield. Like, I am excited to have a Helldivers-like experience, right, where we are working on one ship and going off and doing stuff.
Yeah, and I like the idea of mixing that in with like a Left 4 Dead style thing where, yeah, PvE, we're having somebody man the ship, do this shit, right? We're playing our own roles. We're doing like true role-playing, right? Yeah. We're playing our roles, but then also, yeah, we're doing that Left 4 Dead type stuff where it is a PvE taking shit out. But yeah, let's see the trailer.
Oh, wow. I thought it would be a cuter art style. This is fun when you come in not knowing anything, and it looks like it's having the Dead Space universe.
I'm Philip from Keepsake Games, and this is Jump Ship, a mission-based co-op PvE space adventure.
Huh.
In Jump Ship, teamwork is crucial. Mount turrets, tackle emergencies, and ensure your ship's integrity to complete missions and reap the rewards. While Jump Ship is best enjoyed with up to four players, solo players are welcome too. Each mission in Jump Ship demands strategic choices. Jump to riskier sectors with high risk, high reward, or take a safer route. Do you want components for your ship? Do you need repairs?
This is super ambitious.
Or perhaps some extra credits?
But when's the last time an ambitious space game didn't
just
come
arrived? There seems to be a jammer preventing us from jumping further. Let's make our way there and disable it. Using our sensors, we can tell that ships are patrolling the area. With some good positioning and teamwork, though, I'm sure we can make our way past them undetected. We made it. Time to enter the facility.
In the chat, Asher says, we've moved from the Fortnite era to the Helldivers era. I'm so here for it.
Looted to stay alive.
Yeah, for audio listeners, like,
when that's done and all loot is collected, it's time to return to the ship.
It looks legitimately like, you know, photorealistic. Or not photorealistic, but like has that realistic kind of art style.
It's got that grounded angle to it. It's first person.
And like when you see like the graphics, like first person shooter could be like any other AAA first person shooter you see. But then, yeah, you're doing that shit when you're on foot, but then you go into your ship and you're flying around.
My biggest question, I mean, because this is a first, right? Or is this just a preview,
one-off? Let's jump to the next sector.
Is this an IGN first where there's a lot of coverage?
I think this is Eternal
Strain, the IGN first?
Eternal Strain is IGN.
Gotcha. I'll go read Ryan's full preview, because my question on this one becomes, like, how does it work for? Oh, let it go, okay, please.
Every jump we feel fresh.
I guess
because
I'm talking over
different.
It. That's might be smart. But how does it go where it's like?
Choosing your ship.
So I go and join your game, mission, and I'm on your ship, working on your ship. How do I take back stuff to my ship? Right? You know what
there
I mean?
There you like, can upgrade your ship.
Oh, I see.
Purchase new equipment before embarking on a new adventure. And that's Jump Ship. Preach wish list.
They gotta have that figured out. Right?
Yeah, of course.
I imagine there standard is. Going forward. I remember playing, I think it was like Far Cry 5.
I guess
Cry
this happened on Sea of Thieves. I guess it's just gonna be like Sea of Thieves.
Yeah. So yeah, I hate it when I'm playing a multiplayer game and I'm playing with somebody else's game and I got nothing to show for it.
Yeah, I mean, I know you'll get XP and stuff like that. It's just an interesting one of like, I'm coming to your ship, you're the captain, I'm running the guns, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
But yeah, this seems like a stream game that I'd want to hop into.
100%.
For the kind of funny stream.
You know, so Mike doesn't like PvE.
What does that mean? Like, he doesn't...
He doesn't like Helldivers because he doesn't like PvE. He wants
really?
PvP.
I would have assumed he loved PvE. Isn't most of the games they play...
They're doing Warzone all the time and shit like that.
I guess, yeah.
Man.
Huh.
Valorant. Dude sucks.
Is that April? Did he get you on April Fool's?
No, have you ever noticed that he doesn't play Helldivers?
Oh, does he not?
No. He'll do it on a stream. He'll suck it up. But he's no Kevin. He's no Joey. He's no Greg.
Interesting. I never noticed that. Yeah, I guess he's out there playing Halo. Doesn't he likes Gears though? Doesn't Gears? Isn't that the whole thing?
Hey man,
how do you not like PvE? Isn't that most video games?
Dude sucks. I'm just saying it. You know what I mean?
Aren't single player games is PvE?
We made a mistake hiring him.
I guess he's playing.
Jump Ship's great though. That looks cool.
Yeah, it looks
excited
really awesome.
For that one too. I wonder when we'll ever see it actually and be playable. But like, I mean, you know, when will it come out? Is what I mean. I don't know, man. That was great. I'm actually really blown away by how much I like that. Good job, video games. You
two new
to be
cool games that are coming out.
I like that. Speaking of cool new games coming out, number four, Embracer CEO says the restructuring is over. No other studios are for sale. This is James Batchelor, GamesIndustry.biz. Lars Wingfors, the CEO of Embracer Group, has declared an end to the group's lengthy restructuring process that resulted in the loss of 1,400 jobs and the closure of three studios. In an investor call last week's, in an investor call following last week's $460 million sale of Borderlands developer Gearbox, Wings told investors, quote, "Now we are ending the restructuring program at the end of March, and we're looking into the future," end quote. He added that divestment of Saber Interactive and Gearbox were, quote, "two very important milestones in this process." Rock Paper Shotgun reported that he also said Embracer was not planning to sell any more of its businesses. Quote, "We are getting approached on a weekly basis by companies that would like to acquire certain aspects within or assets within this group," he said. "And I've been very clear that they're not for sale because they're a very important part of the group and for the shareholders of the group going forward," end quote. It is not clear whether this means an end of layoffs that have hit Embracer over the past year. GamesIndustry.biz has reached out for comment and clarification.
So I guess this should be good news, but I was kind of hoping Crystal Dynamics.
You want them to get out too?
I was wanting them to get sold. Yeah, I'm like, please sell them to somebody safer because I don't trust Embracer. You know, especially when you talk about that last couple of sentences of it's not clear whether this means the end of layoffs, right? Like, you know, they're just talking
because
about not selling.
They're a very important part for the group and for shareholders,
which
of the
makes
group
me think
forward.
That they're like, no, Crystal Dynamics and Tomb Raider.
Well, there's money.
There's money in that. Yeah, they got that deal with Amazon where Amazon's going to publish the Tomb Raider games. Like, there's money there. We're not going to let go of that. And I'm like, just get let go of it, man. It's for the kid of Crystal Dynamics. I'm scared. I want that studio to like.
Is it even? Is it scared? I don't even think it's scared. I think it's just like, I don't know. Obviously, we only know so much. Obviously, it just seems like the writing's on the wall that I don't know if Embracer's able to come back from this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but like, well, and so if the day comes where Embracer shuts down. What does happen to the rest of what's under them, right?
They would sell everything again. Like, I think that would be the thing, is like you would go through and sell off more properties before you did it, right? Yeah. I don't think it's going to be for something this big, we're done. I think it's going to be, okay, this quarter didn't go the way we wanted to. This game underperformed. So our deal with Amazon is done, right? We've done everything we can for that. So we are selling Crystal now. Now we're going to move on and sell this, that, the other. Like, you sell and sell and sell till you get to the... I got nothing left, and then you close. It's Monopoly, right? It's literally mortgaging all the properties.
How many years do you think we got with Embracer?
Dude, who knows? That's the thing, right? Like, more important than, I think, how many years do we have with Embracer, right, is more of where is the output from Embracer? What is the next Embracer game from any of the family of studios that's coming that we're like, that is going to be a great game? That is going to make money?
When I look through the family of the groups that are under Embracer, like most of these are publishers, right? Because they're acquiring publishers. But like, you know, they have THQ Nordic, they have Plyon, they have Playon. They have Coffee Stain,
it's Amplifier. Obvious. Anyone who reads it,
Deca. They got to update their website because they still got Gearbox on here. Easy Brain.
I'll stop you right there. They got a lot of problems. They got a lot of problems at Embracer Group.
They can wait for the
website. Last thing on their mind is getting to fucking EmbracerGroup.com and figuring that out.
Removing Gearbox from there. I mean, they don't have Saber on here, so they updated it somewhat recently. Easy Brain, Asmodee, Dark Horse Media, Free Mode, and then Crystal and Eidos Montreal. Between all those that I just named, the only game that I could even talk to you that's in development is probably Tomb Raider under Crystal Dynamics. I don't even know what the other ones are up to. Like, if I click into THQ Nordic here, I'm clicking in. Man. Brands and licensed IP. They got Elix, Darksiders, Biomutant, Wreckfest, Destroy All Humans, Expedition, MX vs. ATV, and SpongeBob SquarePants.
Playon is doing stuff, right? They announced something recently, I remember.
Well, obviously, Playon, if you remember, I think they used to be Koch Media.
Yeah.
Koch Media. And their big thing was like Volition and Saints Row.
They got Deep Silver in there too, right?
Yeah, Deep Silver is under there too. I guess Dead Island is them. System Shock, Hot Wheels Unleashed, Metro. So actually, they have like a good handful of things, but nothing there that's like, oh, that's gonna save the entire Embracer umbrella. And that's the thing is, when I look at Embracer as a whole and how much they own, when we're talking about the top, like the cream of the crop of Embracer, I think we're talking about the upcoming Tomb Raider thing, and then yeah, like this handful of things from Playon. Which alone, if we were just talking about Playon as an individual entity, would be kind of exciting. I'm like, oh, this is a good list of games.
They got an alien game coming up, right? They did the RoboCop RPG we all popped for. I think they got a... Maybe I'm wrong about that. Playon, Alien.
But yeah, Playon, like Dead Island 2, System Shock, Hot Wheels Unleashed, Metro. Like, that's a good grouping of games there. If you were Playon as an individual entity, right? Embracer as a whole, I'm like, I don't know what it is that's going to carry that entire corporation.
And that's the thing is, I think they're too big for any one thing to carry them.
Yeah.
And so you have all these different studios that are now eating up money, and I don't mean it in a negative way. They're making games, they're working on things, but they're not going to have any, their trees aren't going to bear fruit. And if you're not bearing a product to go sell to make more money, like none of these games, Hot Wheels Unleashed 3 isn't going to be like, okay, cool, it blew up and now this is taken care of.
I think that, especially when there's a lack of vision, because you go back to that last call that we were talking about where Lars Wingforce was giving comments and stuff, right? And like, you know, one of the things he said is, hey, yeah, we just got to make some good games. And it's like, all right, cool. That's true of everyone. But what is your plan here? Like,
Train might be out of station on that. Shouldn't have bought 900 studios and then be like, oh shit, we got to make games now.
Like when we talk about it, like big publishers, right? When we talk about even Ubisoft, which we dunk on Ubisoft all the time, or not, I mean, dunk might not be the right word. We critique Ubisoft all the time about where they're at as business.
Yeah.
At the very least, I can look at Ubisoft and go, hey, like, you know, their strategy right now is Assassin's Creed and Far Cry, and they have a Star Wars game coming out, and like, yeah, I can see somewhat of a vision, even though I think that vision is a little bit messy and they're trying to correct the ship at Ubisoft.
Yeah,
I can kind of see what they're going for. With Embracer, the last big statement about their strategy was, we got to exploit Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, we exploit IP.
And so are we going to take THQ Nordic, Playon, Coffee Stain, etc., and go, all right, how much Lord of the Rings can we get on this? You know, can we have these people get on? And then also at the same time, hopefully Tomb Raider is just the biggest success ever. I give them maybe under 2 years as an overall entity, as Embracer. Yeah. I think 2 years.
I don't think this is the end of them selling things. They can say that, that's fine. But I think the next fiscal quarter, the next fiscal year, there will be more, oh shit, we're still not making money. We need to figure out how to balance the budget, how to get it better. Okay, there it was. I was like, what does Coffee Stain do? That Deep Rock Galactic is on there. Okay, that makes sense. Goat Simulator, okay. I think this is just going to be an ongoing slow bleed. I hope I'm wrong. I hope they turn the corner and there's something huge that's going to come out, and multiple things that are huge, multiple good games that come out and do their thing and like, oh shit, okay. Embracer's back on track. They're doing the right thing. But
I mean, unless one of these games is Elden Ring or Animal Crossing New Horizons, I don't think we're going to see Embracer. Again, like I say 2 years is my prediction, but realistically, I'm like 5 years from now, I don't think Embracer is a thing anymore.
Fair enough. Number five, will Hollow Knight Silksong ever be a real thing? We go to Alex Stedman at IGN, who writes, Hollow Knight Silksong got an Xbox store page on April Fool's Day. It's hard to overstate how eagerly Hollow Knight fans have been awaiting its sequel, Silksong, 5 years after it was initially announced. And now, they got a little bit of hope in the form of an Xbox store page. Today, that was April 1st, with little fanfare, Hollow Knight Silksong got an official listing on Microsoft's website. There's no release date, no trailer, no pre-orders, or anything of the sort outside of a wish listing, but it's something, right? Right? Oh, and one more catch. It just so happens to be on April Fool's Day, which has some fans treating the mysterious listing like a healthy, with a healthy amount of skepticism. To be clear, there's no indication that this is some kind of cruel April Fool's Day joke by developer Team Cherry or Microsoft, but it also doesn't tell us a whole lot about where the highly anticipated sequel is. A game can be listed on the Xbox Store for a number of reasons, including routine back-end work, and some listings go up well in advance of release. Silksong has also had listings on several other stores for some time now, including PSN and the Nintendo eShop.
Cool. It's kind of fucked up that they did this on April Fool's. But also awesome.
Nothing more. I think April Fool's is done to death. I don't like the big thing doing a big thing. You know what I mean? In my Greg way where I did an April Fool's, I talked about this where it's like the Zelda trailer at IGN was so great. And then every year, IGN included, everyone's chased that high, and I just don't think they're able to get back to it. So it gets a little bit more and more like, all right. Outside of the big dumb, this is the April Fool's Day thing that I hate, is the releases of like, hey, we're announcing this thing, and it's not an April Fool's Day. Then don't do it on April Fool's Day. Don't do your fucking weird announcement on April Fool's Day if it's not April Fool's Day. You know what I mean? I don't want to read a press release and say, no fooling, we're doing this thing.
Yeah, I think we're doomed when I was thinking about this coming into work yesterday. You know, it's Monday. It is the first day of a new fiscal year,
yeah.
Right? And it's like, and it's April Fool's Day. It's like, we can't win, you know? Like, like yesterday, honestly, I'm glad yesterday was as tame as it was for April Fool's shit and for just big news in general, because I was expecting to wake up to some like Nintendo being like Switch 2 is coming. That could have been yesterday and it could have been just fucking chaos. But I think there's enough, Monday is a sucky day to like come in and do shit, right? Because like I think Monday is kind of that preparation day and then Tuesday is when you have big shit happen. But like I think with April Fool's, I think for the most part people are just tired with it. You know, like there's the small jokes and like, cool, you know, Greg's building a PC. All right, that's funny. But for the most part, I think everybody's like, all right, we don't need the big April Fool shit anymore.
Yeah.
Like unless you're doing something that is like genuinely, like I forget, was Death of Sonic the Hedgehog or sorry, the Murder of Sonic the Hedgehog, was that April Fool's chat? Cause that was cool. Cause you dropped an actual game that was on Steam and it was playable. That I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah, that's a fun thing. Yeah, but aside from that, yeah, was it? I like something like that. But aside from that, it's like, all right, enough.
Enough.
I think Canada announced that I think Beyonce canceled the rest of her tour or something. Maybe it was Taylor Swift. It was some big artist. And they were like, oh, yeah, all the tour dates are canceled from some Canadian publication. And it's like, no, that's not funny.
You're hurting people's lives out there. Yeah. You know what I mean? Let them be. I'm sick of all this big news, just like I'm sick of all this April Fool's Day fooling. If I wanted something smaller, say the tiniest news I needed to know about, where would I go?
You would go to our last story, the Wii News Channel, where we cover all the small news items you need to know about.
Number 6, the Wii News. Xbox is working on an AI chatbot to handle customer support requests.
I saw this making the rounds. And I was like, okay, whatever. Like, who cares? Isn't that usually what it is? I guess AI, maybe AI is more sophisticated.
I don't know. Is it ever when you go to United? Do you want this? Representative.
Don't get me started about United.
From VGC, Omega 6, the first video game from Star Fox and F-Zero artist Takaya Imamura. Since he left Nintendo in 2021, will be released for Nintendo Switch in Japan on July 25th. Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erd Tree ESRB rating is up. Quote, the word shit appears in the dialogue. Metal. I'm guessing it got an M.
I mean, yeah, it's Elden Ring.
Okay.
I think the SRB was like all the same things that were already in Elden Ring, but the word shit was like the one unique thing.
Gotcha. Tales of Kenzera, Zao, comes to PlayStation Plus Extra when it launches on April 23rd. That's awesome.
Smart.
That's really cool.
Very, very cool.
Dave the Diver comes to PlayStation Plus when it launches on PlayStation 5 on April 16th. Also awesome.
Very cool.
Godzilla DLC too.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget. Never forget.
Guilty Gear.
Is it true?
There's some kind of crossover. I don't think it's that day, but yeah, Guilty Gear Strive is crossing over David the Diver, and it's very weird.
Okay. SteamWorld Build DLC, Mechanized, launches April 4th on Xbox, PlayStation, and PC. A new Helldivers 2 update raises the level cap from 50 to 150, adds blizzards, sandstorm hazards, and adds fixes in game balances. Motherfucker. You know?
No.
Now there's even more to do now. There's even more to do.
I thought you were upset.
Oh, I'm thrilled.
Yeah.
Like, again, we've beaten this horse to death, but Helldivers killing it as a live service game. The fact that every day there's something going on in Helldivers world that I'm excited about, awesome. I just need more time. I also need another giant double XP weekend.
Like, we can just, like, not... Well, how can we clear our schedule to where we can just sell ads during the streams and just skip KFGD? But then also have people come through. What if we did KFGD while playing Helldivers 2?
Sure, yeah. I mean, you could just do my game's dailies, and I could go play Helldivers.
Yeah, but nobody wants to do that.
You don't want to play Helldivers, though.
Yeah, but also, you know, do I want to host more days of this show? Does the audience want to hear more from me and not from you? We can figure something out.
Okay, we'll work on it.
Yeah, what if you? I can talk at you during KFGD. We can put Helldivers 2 on here.
See, I was thinking this year for my birthday stream. Mm. Not my birthday is on Saturday the 27th, April 27th. The 26th, we're doing the next Kind of Funny Happy Hour, so be there. I might have just announced that. It's on the calendar. And then I was thinking then the 25th, that Thursday, maybe I just stream Helldivers all day. Mm. Like, and like kind of do it. Excuse me, I burped in the microphone. Maybe do it like how we did it for the Starfield thing, where like I start at 9 and I'm in there all day, and then during games daily, I'm still going in a lower corner.
Mm.
That could be fun.
Yeah. Cool. Sounds fun.
We'll think about that. The Nocturnal Vapor Xbox Series X/S controller has been officially announced. Let's see some images of the Nocturnal Vapor. Okay.
Cool.
It's green.
If you scroll down, there's like a cool image. I kind of like this image here where you can kind of see the vapor flying off a controller. It's a controller.
It is?
Yeah.
You know who's going to buy it? Gary Whitta. So
Mike
cool.
Mike.
And so Mike.
Does Gary Whitta own like every single Xbox controller?
He does, yeah. They did a whole X-Cast where he brought them in. He brought them all in.
Don't they make one a day? Like, how do you keep all of those?
I mean, you can go to the design lab and get whatever you want. You know what I mean?
Good for him.
Good for him indeed. There's nothing better than seeing a man make it in Hollywood, right? Here he is, accomplished screenwriter. Mm-hmm. You don't know. I don't ask. I don't want to know. But I hope he's making a lot of money. You know what I mean? He's writing all this. He's writing Star Wars.
If we had to guess his yearly income.
Upwards of $100,000.
That's crazy.
But anyways, I'm glad to see he still spends all this money on just worthless nerd shit. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
That's how I like to think Timothy Chalamet is doing the same thing. Or Timmy is like, Timmy Chalamet.
Timmy,
yeah. I forget if he likes being called Timmy or if he hates it. It's only one of the two.
We gotta figure this out before we see him.
Yeah, because I don't want to call him that to his face and I get punched by Timothy Chalamet and then this whole thing, then Zendaya comes through. Actually, I don't know. I guess she's just a co-star. She's dating Tom Holland, but still. I feel like she'd ride or die.
Yeah, exactly. I think so, yeah, 100%.
They seem like homies. She'd be.
How many degrees removed from Timotei are we? Because you figure he's a gamer like us. It's possible, he's listened to our or watched our stuff.
But I don't think... if he listens to our stuff, does that count as only one degree away?
Timotei, if you've made it this far into Games Daily,
tweet
me.
He's not watching.
Let me know. Okay?
Could you imagine? I guess... Crazy things happen. Yeah. Jack Quaid listens to this show.
Yeah, exactly. Has Jack Quaid been in anything with Timothée Chalamet?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't think so. I'm trying to think now, because like Timothy didn't appear in the Oppenheimer. No, I wouldn't know that. But like, has anybody else in Oppenheimer appeared in anything?
Yeah.
I feel like at least one Oppenheimer actor must have appeared in a Timothée Chalamet thing. Who was in Wonka?
Who fucking saw Wonka? Oh, well, Hugh Grant was in it.
Florence Pugh. She was in Dune 2, and she's also... Wait, which one was she in with?
She was in Oppenheimer.
Oh, in Oppenheimer. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that puts us at 2 degrees. Three?
That's 3 degrees. 1 degree, isn't it? Because it's Florence.
No, it's Jack Quaid, then Florence, then Tim.
Oh, I see. I wasn't counting Jack Quaid as anything. Okay.
So far, we're 3 degrees away, which is closer than what I would have expected.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not bad. Now, the question is, though, like, and I don't know how it is on a real movie. I don't think, like, Florence Pugh never shared a scene with Jack Quaid. So do you think they actually were ever friends? like they might not have met each other. Yeah, they, I mean, I'm they sure they saw each other at something.
Yeah, like they probably both went to the Oscars and met each other. They must have shook hands at the Oscars because they both had major, major roles in Oppenheimer. I don't know if Jack Quaid would describe his role as major. I describe it as major.
He played the bongos.
The bongos.
Remember, that was a big thing of his character. In Oppenheimer, he played
huge thing.
Please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Jack Quaid, it's Greg Miller on Kinda Funny Games Daily.
And it's me, Blessing.
Blessing's here as well. You know him. Our question is simple. Well, actually, it's not. But, like, have you ever shaken hands with Florence Pugh? Do you know? Like, you were in the same movie. But, like, did you... And I know what you're thinking. Oh, we want to be introduced to Florence Pugh. No, we want to be introduced to Timmy Chalamet. But we're not sure if you've ever been in a picture with him. You know what I mean? So, like, you... I did a Google. I couldn't figure it out. So, we know we traced it back to Florence Pugh. So, if you shook her hand... Then, you know, because Timothée Chalamet might be listening to this right now. There's a lot going on at the end of Games Daily for April 2nd. You should go watch that, and then you can call us back and let us know.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you. We have a segment we call You're Wrong. This is where one of you writes in to keep us honest and tell us what we screwed up as we screwed it up live. No. Yeah, okay. So here we go. It's time to pull back a curtain here.
Okay.
Salsa by the Sea says, wasn't Timothée Chalamet a presenter at the Game Awards? So he should know Jeff Keighley. You guys would only be separated by 1 degree. I just called fucking Hollywood superstar Jack Quaid and left an unhinged voicemail, all right? I would not, with my dying breath, call Jeff for anything on this show. All right? I want you to know. That's like the arm's length Jeff Keighley keeps Greg Miller in Games Daily at.
Yeah, I feel like we have a better chance.
Jeff Keighley
has a way better chance going through Jack Quaid, who goes through Florence Pugh, who gets to Timothée Chalamet before Jeff Keighley would ever think about introducing us to Timothée Chalamet.
Jeff Keighley still won't tell me on my Instagram DMs if he liked The Flash. All right? Like, that's where we're at with Jeff Keighley.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Never in a million years would I hit up. Yeah, I mean, if it was like, who wants to be a millionaire? And they're like, you need to talk to Timothée Chalamet or we shoot you. I'm going to call Jack Quaid before I call fucking Jeff.
Jeez.
Jeff won't even answer the call. Jeff has me on red all the time. Don't worry about it. Ah, I digress.
I appreciate Stick Figures in chat or in the You're Wrong says a baker's dozen is 13.
Yeah, people don't get that joke. You know what I mean? It's been around a long time.
It's going to be new listeners.
Well, you should go back. It's not. There hasn't been that many Games Dailies.
I feel like there's been a million. This might be like the most like storied video game podcast in history at this point.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of your most storied video game podcast in history. I like that quite a bit. First off, DJ Kento also says, you know Kevin Smith. He's homies with Dave Dachamel. He's also in Dune Part 1. So we'd have that connection too, I guess.
Okay. I feel like Jack Quaid is our best shot still.
Now, I want you to know, though, when I needed to talk to Dave, who did I hit up? Jack Quaid.
There you go.
So, there you go.
I think Jack Quaid is a homie. Yeah. I mean, Kevin Smith, I'm sure, is a homie, too. I've not met him.
Kevin Smith's, like, our mentory homie. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Where it's like, I have to go to somebody to talk to Kevin.
Yeah.
Whereas Jack Quaid made the mistake of giving me his numbers and call me anytime.
Yeah.
So he gets fucking shit.
For who I am, we're two different people with different connections, right? If I Instagram DM'd Jack Quaid, I think eventually he'd get back to me. Whereas I don't think Kevin Smith would even see it.
No. Yeah.
I don't know if Jeff Keighley would even see my DM. Jeff Keighley would see my DM. But I think Jack Quaid might get to me faster.
Yeah.
Than Jeff Keighley. I love Jeff Keighley. I'm sure he likes us.
Oh, we love Jeff Keighley too, yeah.
But come on, man. He wasn't in The Boys.
Ladies and gentlemen, Games Daily comes to you each and every weekday on Twitch, YouTube, and of course, podcast services around the globe. If you like what you see or hear, please get that Kinda Funny membership. Support us for the month of April. Get a whole bunch of cool stuff like ad-free viewing.
I got one more for you.
Yeah.
Somebody in chat said Xavier Woods.
Connection, Batista.
Batista, Timothée Chalamet, because Batista was in the Dune movies as well.
Yeah, but do you think Woods and Batista are close?
Have they not wrestled each other? I've not watched WWE in a long time.
Well, I mean,
were they not the same era?
No, that's the thing is, like, it wouldn't have been the same era, right? Like, Batista's been back, obviously. I wouldn't put it past them that, you know.
Like, I don't think they're close, but, like, I feel like a connection. I don't think Florence Pugh and Jack Quaid are close either. But sure. I feel like Xavier Woods could hit up Batista and it not be that weird. Like, I got this guy named Greg Miller. You know him from This Is Awesome.
See, that would totally be weird. I think, you know what I mean? Yeah, I don't think that
connection. You don't think Xavier Woods could walk into Batista and be like, I want to introduce some people to Timothy Chalamet?
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Games Daily. Get the kind of funny membership. Keep the lights and mics on. Until next time, no, it's been our pleasure to serve you.